Chapter 4, Fall Prevention Tips and Resources, Ladders. In previous chapters, we discussed broad risk factors associated with falls. We talked about risks associated with farm equipment and risks associated with personal factors. In our three remaining chapters on falls, we will dive deep into explaining prevention for three common fall hazards: falls from ladders, falls from tractors, and falls on ice. In this chapter, we're going to focus on ladders. We will give you a little ladder safety training, and then we'll walk you through some case studies to familiarize you with what happens when some of these recommendations are not followed. First, we do need to discuss types of ladders and their parts. We will discuss fixed ladders, then two types of portable ladders, the A-frame or step ladder, and then the extension ladder. In our one-pager, we'll provide specifics on the two portable ladders, but since fixed ladders are on farms, we'll start there. So fixed ladders. On the farm, fixed ladders are often attached to the outside of buildings. Sometimes they're inside a building to go from the ground floor up to, say, a mezzanine or a hayloft. But outside of buildings, they're commonly on grain bins. These have specific design criteria. The space between the rungs of ladder when you're climbing up it are between 10 and 14 inches, and they're consistent across the height of the ladder. So the step between two rungs down low should be the same as the distance between the two rungs up high. And each of these rungs have to be at least about 7 inches from the structure behind the ladder to the rungs themselves. This is to allow the foot to fit on each of the rungs. And the ladder must be capable of supporting the maximum intended weight. That means it must have to continue to be structurally sound and continue to be able to do this, or it has to be taken out of service. So if things rust over time, it may no longer be capable of supporting the maximum intended weight. There has to be a little bit of inspection to make sure that these fixed ladders are still functioning properly. The next ladder type to be aware of is what we call the A-frame or step ladder. These ladders have two sloping parts. One has steps to walk up and down, and the other side is to balance and allow the ladder to be rigid during use. And so those are the ladders that we lock a spreader that spreads those two legs open, and then we unlock the spreader and collapse the two legs together to store the ladder. This ladder is often selected when the task requires a substantial amount of time to be spent working on the ladder. It also is used when a level surface is available for all 4 feet and when the job does not require stepping off the ladder to access another level. Critical inspection steps to making sure that the ladder is safe are to make sure that there's no cracking, bending, split, frayed, loose, or missing steps, rails, shelf, usually on the back of the ladder, in the spreader and the lock of the spreader. In addition, you want to make sure that there are labels on the side rails, and those should be still intact and readable, that the ladder has feet if there are slip-resistant grips, that they're not worn, broken, or missing. Especially if we're putting that ladder on a solid surface, concrete, or indoor floor. The general condition should be that there is no rust or corrosion, there are no loose or damaged rivets or screws, and that it does not feel unstable or wobbly. The third type of ladder is an extension ladder. This ladder is a non-self-supporting portable ladder that is adjustable in length. It has one section that maintains contact with the ground when it's put in place, and then the other section can be extended to reach another level, say a height on a building to go up onto the roof. The extended portion, when the ladder is in use, must be locked in place, and near the top of the extended ladder, it must rest on the structure to support the weight of the ladder and the person that is on top of the ladder. The top of the ladder must extend at least 3, but no more than 4 feet above the landing at the surface of the ladder if being used to access that surface from the ladder. If we need to go from the ground level up to the top of a roof, that ladder must extend 3 at least feet, no more than 4 feet above that top level of where we access the roof. For the extension ladder, critical inspections include making sure that the following are not cracked, bent, split, frayed, loose, or missing. So the rungs, the rails, the rung locks, and the braces all have to be in good condition. In addition, the ladder feet, if we have slip-resistant grips, again, if those are going to be on a solid surface, such as concrete, the slip grips must not be worn, broken, or missing. General condition, again, no rust, no corrosion, no loose or damaged rivets or screws, and it does not feel unstable or wobbly. Safe practices for setting up any portable ladders are to make sure that you select the right ladder for the job. So if you're going to be doing work on the ladder, you probably want the A-frame ladder and not the extension ladder. If you want to use a ladder to climb up to a higher surface and get off of the ladder, then you need probably the extension ladder. Safe practices also include inspecting the ladder, confirming that there are no overhead hazards, especially electrical hazards, before you set up the ladder in place. You want to use the grips on the feet only when the ladder is on a solid surface. Otherwise, flip up the slip-resistant grips to get them solidly into the ground. You want to make sure that the feet are on level ground and a stable surface. You make sure that all of the locking devices are engaged. You position the ladder so that the task can be accomplished without reaching. You don't want to reach beyond the center of the ladder. For an extension ladder, you want to make sure that it is 1 foot away from the wall for every 4 feet in height that it goes up. So if you have a 16-foot climb, then you want to make sure that the base of the ladder is moved away from the structure 4 feet. When using the ladder, you always want to make sure that you maintain 3 points of contact. And what that means, if you're not really familiar with it, is that you either have 2 hands and 1 foot in contact, or 1 hand and 2 feet. When you're climbing, you don't lift 1 hand and 1 foot at the same time. You also don't stand on the very top of the ladder. For a step ladder or an A-frame ladder, you don't use the top 2 steps. And for an extension ladder, you do not step on the top 3 rungs of that ladder. You also don't carry equipment up on the ladder. You want to use a hoist or pull material and tools up from the ground level to the working surface. If we're carrying something in our hand, then we cannot have 3 points of contact maintained because one of those hands is going to be holding equipment and not the ladder. And it's always best practices whenever you're using a ladder to have a spotter there that is steadying that ladder. So now that you know about ladders, their components and inspection setup and use, let's hear from a case study about Rick's fall. This case comes from a Telling the Story project where Rick talks about a fall from a ladder and what he wished he had done differently after he fell. So here's Rick's story. Rick says, quote, "I was getting the barn ready for calving and I was going to replace the light bulb over the pens. I got a 10-foot wooden stepladder, that's the A-frame, out and climbed onto the top step to reach. It got to wobbling and then I got to wobbling to counter it." End quote. The ladder side rail broke and Rick fell 15 feet to the concrete. Quote, "I laid there for a while in pain and couldn't move. I figured my arm was broke. That night, my wrist swelled up huge." End quote. As it turned out, he'd broken ribs, but not his arm. It was over a month before he was up and getting around well. Quote, "Lying there, I could just see that sign on the top step. I'd even move my feet apart on the top step so I could read it." He shook his head. "It was stupid and it happened so quick. I knew better, but I did it anyway. If Juan or anybody was there with me, they would have said, no, about getting on the top step. Somebody would have been holding the ladder. That somebody, or Rick, probably would have inspected the ladder before using it, like he did at the plant he managed. He admitted that he wouldn't have let somebody else get onto the top step. Quote, I don't know if that ladder already had a crack in it, end quote. He didn't recall taking time to look over it before setting it up. What factors led to his fall? First, he used a step or A-frame ladder. Which of these safe practices with setup were ignored? Select the right ladder for the job. Yep, he picked the correct type. Likely there was nowhere to lean an extension ladder, but he probably didn't have the correct height of a ladder since he had to step onto the top steps. Inspect the ladder. Was this done? Well, he said that he found it wobbly, which should be a no-go, so tighten up the bolts, especially on this wooden ladder. Did he confirm no overhead hazard, including electrical, before going up the ladder? Well, this wasn't an issue, so that was fine. Use grips only when on the solid surface, otherwise flip up the slip-resistant grips. Well, this was not discussed, but since the floor was concrete, grips should have been used and in good condition. Make sure that the feet are on level ground and a stable surface. Unknown if that's a factor or not. Make sure all the locking devices are engaged. We don't really know if it was. We'll assume that it was. Position it so the task can be accomplished without reaching. Now, in this case, reach wasn't an issue, but height was. Which of these safe practices with using the ladder were ignored? So I'll go through the safe use items. So maintain 3 points of contact when climbing. That seems to be okay. The second safe practice is don't stand on the top. So 2 steps for the step ladder, 3 rungs for an extension ladder. We know clearly that he stepped on the top 2 steps and that was a problem. Don't carry equipment on the ladder. That wasn't seemingly a condition. And then the last recommendation is to have a spotter there to steady the ladder, which he did not have. Walking through this list of best practices for both setup and use, we can see in hindsight that the wrong height of the ladder was selected, that the ladder was not inspected. We aren't sure about the stable surface, but we do know that standing on the top 2 steps was a problem and that there was no spotter to stabilize the ladder. Remember that when recommendations are made, including by the ladder designers, there's a reason. And with ladders, the reason is safety. So take a look at the one pager for these lists and see if the graphics can be used to guide others into safe ladder use. As we wrap up a quick tour of ladder safety, let's think about what you've learned in regards to your own ladder use. Our discussion question here is, think about buying a ladder to do chores in your own home. What tasks might you need a ladder to do? And what information would you need to select the right type and size of ladder? Have some thoughts about this, and we will come back next time to talk about fall prevention for getting off of equipment.